If you look around, you'll discover there are people in your life who want to receive encouragement, recognition, security, and hope. That process is called nurturing, and it's a need of every human being. If you desire to become an influencer in others' lives, start by nurturing them. And today we talk about how to influence with nurture, right here, only on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host, Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. It's great to be back with you on a Monday morning. At least it's Monday for us. You may be catching this on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, or maybe right before your Sunday morning message. We don't know if it'll be much help, but we're glad that you've joined us. Today we're here to talk about issues related to leadership and the Spirit-filled church. And so we've spent the last couple of weeks talking about how we elevate our influence as leaders. And so today, Charles gave the intro. We're going to be talking about nurturing, and you're going to find some interesting dynamics that relate to influencing through being a nurturing person. So, Charles, I've had a great weekend. We had a wonderful time yesterday in worship and service, and we got to go to be with some other ministers in our fellowship in the eastern part of the state over the weekend, and that was a fantastic time to connect with them. Tell me how your weekend went.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a great weekend. Got to spend time with you, Bruce, my brother-in-law, and get to hang out a little bit. Spent time with other pastors and fellow preachers, honing and working on our craft for preaching. Sunday was in the eastern part of the state of North Carolina with another church, another pastor, building relationships there. And just privileged and honored to preach, and drove, finished there, and late afternoon left the eastern part of the state, drove all the way across. We live in the western part of North Carolina, excuse me, and got home, watched the replay of the Carolina Panthers game, and can I tell you, miracles happen. My soul feels nurtured this morning. The Panthers pulled out a big win, and I'm telling you, I don't believe in luck, but I'm feeling lucky. I'm feeling good. I may go out and buy a lottery ticket later on this afternoon. I don't know. I'm just feeling good. So we've had a phenomenal weekend, and just excited to be a part of this episode on the podcast today.
Let me just say, Andy Dalton, the Red Rocket. It was lift off yesterday, man.
That guy,
I saw him make throws. I thought, did we just pick up Aaron Rodgers? Because that looks a lot like Andy Dalton. He hit that corner pass for the touchdown. I thought, that he threw that on a rope.
Yeah, I know. I jumped up off the couch and I thought, where in the world did that throw come from? What an amazing pass and catch! Just a great game. So. If that's all we get this year, that's enough. It's kind of like playing golf. When you're first starting out, one good shot brings you back the next time. So, hey, one good win, I'll take it. Hopefully there's more in store, but if that's all we get, that'll be enough. That was a great game to watch.
I did see it's a statistic, you know, before we get on to really more important matters. I did see after the game, I saw some of the notes about the game, and apparently that's the first game in a few years that the Panthers had a 300-yard pass or a 100-yard rusher, a 100-yard receiver in the same game.
Oh, wow.
So,
So well, it was all working yesterday. So, good job, really Panthers. Was. Excuse me. They've got me all choked up. I can't quit coughing. Well, let's get into to our topic today, talking about nurture. And what a great way to lead and influence others through this idea and through the process of nurturing. And I just want to point out, just in my mind as an observation, I really liken the idea and the process of nurture to fit really well in those pastoral gifts. You know, this is the Five Gifts podcast. And again, Christ gave his gifts to build the church: apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. And I believe, and again, this is just my opinion, but I believe what we're talking about today with nurture really fits well in those pastoral gifts, that pastoral anointing. And so for the person who would say, well, I have to have apostolic gifts, or I have to lead with from another gift, or from that, from a posture of another gift, listen, nurturing people is a phenomenal way to lead and to influence. And again, if it's to meet our personal agenda, that's manipulation. But we're trying to nurture people to get on God's agenda. And so that's what we're trying to further, is the kingdom of God. And as we nurture people, I'm going to say it's going to be, nurturing people is going to happen through pastoral gifts. And so, you know, that's not a definitive statement, but I think by and large, those pastoral gifts that are at work and that are functioning in us and through us really help us and allow us to nurture people. And so I just wanted to say that, make my observation at least. But Bruce, you're going to really help us with some definition and kind of defining this idea of influence with nurture. So help us out.
Sure. One of the things that I think it's important to remember is that, you know, any leader has to adapt. They have to adapt to not only their context, not only, you know, the makeup of their staff or the makeup of their church or their volunteer base. Every leader has to adapt, and especially regarding your skill set. There's some things that are going to be very natural for you as a leader, and there are going to be things that are not as natural. And but the nature of leadership is about adapting to situations and leading accordingly. And so, for example, if you're more of the apostolic kind of a leader, maybe more of a driven leader, a high D, if you will, it may not come natural to you to be more interpersonal. You're more focused on the big picture and getting everything engineered in the organization to reach that goal. And that's not a blanket statement. I don't want anyone to think that just because you're a high D or an apostolic leader, you're not by nature a nurturer. I'm just using it for example. But in any case, if nurturing is not like a natural skill for you, then your influence is going to be diminished if you don't learn to adapt. And so what we're talking about today may come natural for a lot of people, but it also may seem like more of an adaptive skill set that you need to work at. So that's a long preamble, but let me give you some definitions of nurturing. If you look around, you're going to find that people in your life are hungry for encouragement, recognition, security, validation, hope, prospect. So the process of feeding those basic human needs is nurturing. We nurture others not to make people dependent on our leadership, but to free people to reach their potential. And so nurturing is providing the safe environment, a positive environment, a caring environment that really helps that begin to foster and grow and be a great environment for their growth. So the nature of nurture, I think one an operative word to think about nurturing is empathy. And I love a graphic that I found just in research over the years. It talks about the spectrum of empathy. And a lot of us know what it's like to feel pity or sorrow for someone, for their situation, for their place in life. And so pity is like the zero level of empathy. Everybody on some level feels pity. Sympathy is the next step. That's the heartstrings are pulled. You're actually feeling for someone's place in life. Empathy is where we begin to feel with them. And empathy is one of those skills as a leader that is important to allow yourself to feel and to operate at that level. I would say the next level, though, is the active side of empathy. It's compassion. It's I'm moved to do something to help you. And you know, we so often see compassion in a ministry sense or a spiritual sense, where, for example, Jesus felt compassion when he saw the needs. Well, as a leader, you're moved by some of those things that you feel. And so empathy, compassion, is taking action on empathy. It's taking action on considering that the people that you're called to lead and looking at, maybe there's some deficiencies in their leadership, and you might be the person to help them get to the next level. I certainly think as a leader, if you're going to lead leaders, you're going to have to be focused on helping them embark on a journey to get to the next step. And for one thing that it's important to remember is that the opposite of being empathetic and collaborative is to be antagonistic and adversarial. And, you know, some people use that in their leadership, hoping to motivate people. I like what John Knox says. He says, you can't antagonize and influence at the same time. And I think there's so much wisdom in that quote. The art of influencing demands the right approach to the person you want to influence, or you'll run the risk of rejection, especially if they feel like you're more of an adversary rather than an empowerer. And so where antagonism impedes influence, and the reason it does that, again, it establishes an adversarial relationship rather than that empowering servant leader role. So this is something that is important to consider as a leader. Are you more of an antagonist? Do you needle? Do you motivate through negative means, or are you more positive, more collaborative? And so that establishes or requires establishing a nurturing connection. And that's the kind of relationship that is developing trust. It's giving a person not just a sense of that they have the opportunity to grow, but they look to you as someone that can help them in that process. And so anytime that you can earn a person's trust by showing them that level of empathy, then you're the better for it. Your organization will be the better for it. I think at the heart of all nurturing is a genuine concern for others. And again, that's why I say leading is so much an art form of the heart. It's not just your head knowledge. It's not just your ability to organize and scheme and get agendas pushed through. It really is about connecting with people. And we've been talking about this for weeks when it comes to how we empower others. It really does take that heart connection. And so developing that genuine concern is essential. Remember, people are influenced the most by those that make them feel the best about themselves. And I think that's an important reminder that when you're looking to nurture people, they've got to have the sense that you care for them. Now, let me warn you, if all you care about is the results, then sometimes if you're showing nurture, some people are going to read right through that and see that that you're using nurture as a mode of manipulation. So we're talking about genuinely being concerned for people. Ask yourself a few questions. What would it feel like to be in their shoes? What would my life look like if I didn't have my skill set, I had their skill set? Those are the kind of questions that put you into their space. And I think that's important. It's a great way to develop nurture just by considering who that person is. So what are you doing to grow yourself and become more of a nurturer? I think that's an important question to ask yourself as a leader. Am I driven? Am I ambitious? At the risk of alienating a lot of the people that I'm depending on in our organization, our church, our department, our ministry, am I risking alienating the people that I need to be part of the process? I think one thing you said at the beginning, and I think it's important because that really is the heart of our podcast today, is that a nurturing influencer is important. And I think at the heart of being that nurturing influencer is that you're a giver. I think to become more of an intentional, nurturing leader, I need to think about how I'm treating people. I'm not just hanging out with people. I want people to feel like they can become better. That when they think about me, I don't want them to think about a person that's completely glued to my and fixated on my definition of what it means for me to be successful. I hope they know that I value them and that we're serving something greater than just my dreams or my ambition. I look at what John Maxwell says. He says the key to how you treat people lies in how you think about them. And so I think that's a great place to start. Nurturing others begins with consciously thinking about other people, thinking about them as a person that's gifted, capable. Maybe they have some areas to grow. But when people know that you're thinking on that level about them, then they know that you're in it for them. I think as a nurturer, you're focused more on giving than getting, and that's essential. So start by giving others value in specific areas. I would say two would be a sense of love, that everyone needs to feel valued. So as a leader, you know, that seems like a squishy emotional word in organizational leadership, but honestly, that's a value for leaders since time immemorial. I mean, that is 1 Corinthians 13. That is the definition of being the highest kind of a human being, is that you're operating in a level where God lives and where God exists. It's love. It's becoming a more loving person. So when you understand that, and you know that everyone has that need in their life to feel honored and valued, then that by nature demands that you become a person, a loving person. And then secondly, respecting. And we tend to live, I think, in a world that's growing more and more in touch with the need to honor others rather than, again, being antagonistic or being someone that's looking to, get to the next level in the heads of other people. I think we need to remember that learning to respect the people that we work with, learning to value them, learning to express that value, it's not just a thought we have, it's something we need to act on. So, Charles, when I think about those qualities of being a nurturing leader, I think that's where my mind goes. But now, why don't you talk about the other side? What do people need to receive from us as leaders with regard to what they see in us as nurturers?
Well, in order to be a nurturer, we're going to have to become other-minded. We've got to, instead of trying to put others in their place, how about we try putting ourselves in their place? That's a different perspective in leading. But again, we're talking about nurturing, talking about, as you said, honoring others. and so now instead of trying to always lead from my agenda, I'm trying to look through the lens of the other person, trying to meet the needs of the other person, trying to build value and self-worth. And so as we lead others, as we are nurturing others and influencing them through nurture, a lot of great rewards, a lot of great benefits come as a result of that kind of relationship. When you nurture people, they're going to receive several benefits, if you will. First would be positive self-worth, self-esteem. We talk, those can be a buzzword sometimes. But that's one of the things that come from a nurturing relationship. The person who's being nurtured, their positive, their self-worth begins to increase. Self-esteem begins to flourish. And what we've learned, and I think what we intuitively know as well, is that self-esteem impacts every aspect of a person's life. Our employment, in education, in building relationships. I mean, we could go down the line this morning and talk about the different categories and segments of our life. And people, I'll back up and just say again, self-esteem impacts every aspect of our life. And you can kind of stand back and take that helicopter view of life, and you can just begin to look and see the people in our lives, and get a general idea of how self-esteem is at work in the individuals that we interact with every day. It is a powerful powerful factor in the quality of our life. And so that's one of the great benefits of a nurturing relationship is that the self-worth, the self-esteem of the individual being nurtured begins to come alive. It begins to be stirred up and activated. A second benefit would be people receive a sense of belonging. Again, we're being other person minded here. And so we're looking for ways to include others. That's part of nurturing. So as I'm leading, as we're influencing, we're looking to include people in the leadership, in the direction, in the vision, in the operation of the organization, if that's what we're leading, of the family. Wherever we find ourselves leading, one of the tenets of nurture is that we want to include people. And so as we're nurturing others, they begin to receive a sense of belonging. So look for ways to include others. man, I'm telling you, my wife is phenomenal at this, being able to include others. She's teaching me, and I'm learning. The longer I'm around her and with her, she's kind of rubbing off on me. But I'm more of that kind of driven person. If I'm not careful, results and tasks can begin to outweigh people, and that's a dangerous place to live. But she helps me, and she is helping me to kind of soften the sharp corners, of my life, and really become a person who's looking to include others and help people have a sense of belonging. She's just phenomenal at it. And our two daughters really have picked that up from her. We see them, even as we're talking to them in their different youth groups or sports teams or wherever they found themselves, they're becoming people that really prioritize, put a great value on helping others find a place of belonging. A third benefit that people receive from us as we nurture them is they gain a sense of perspective about who they are. Listen, it's the bottom line is it's not who you are that holds you back, but rather it's who you think you are. And as we nurture, what a powerful dynamic that comes into play in another person's life. As we nurture them, their perspective on who they are begins to change. I can think of many examples, and we're not going to talk about those. But in my life, of how a mentor, a person I've looked up to, has really helped change my perspective of who I am. And it's helped shape and form me into the person I am and into the person that I'm becoming. I'm continuing to grow into, because it was through a nurturing relationship that who I thought I was or began to shift. My perspective about me, about Charles, began to change because they were able to, through a nurturing relationship, bring correction or bring a different perspective, bring truth to who I am, instead of me floundering in this kind of self-talk, limiting belief, all these things we talk about in personal growth circles. But a person who nurtures, a person who leads and influences with nurture, you have great capacity to help someone change their perspective on who they are, and by doing that, you begin to unlock for people new pathways, new doors to walk through that release them into new opportunities, into new relationships, into just a new seasons of life. I mean, the possibilities are endless. As our perspectives change about who we are, it frees us to really take steps of faith, to take new ground. And it's amazing, at least for me, to think that through a nurturing relationship, perspectives can change. And when perspectives change, it is powerful. It's transformative for that person who is receiving nurture. Another powerful benefit would be people receive feelings of significance. Now, all of a sudden, someone who may feel like that they're just part of the machine, or just a piece of what's happening. You know, they're just a number in the organization. As we enter into nurturing relationships, as we nurture people, now folks who may not be as deeply connected, or who maybe feel severely insignificant, again, that perspective begins to change. They begin to understand how important they are to me, or to us as the leader, as the one who is nurturing. So again, that nurturing relationship begins to bring feelings of significance. It helps move people from a posture of insignificance now to value and worth and feeling significant, because they begin to realize and understand just how important they are to the coach, to the mentor, to the leader. And it is incredible. Again, as people begin to shift, as people begin to grow and to develop, now moving from a place of insignificance into a proper and truthful understanding of, no, I'm significant in this family. I have value in this organization. I'm a contributor on this team, and I'm important. And they begin to see their value in a new light. Last benefit we'll talk about here is that in a nurturing relationship, people will receive hope. They receive hope. How you think about others is a matter of attitude. So we've talked about perspectives changing. We've talked about thoughts of significance, you know, increasing. Here we're talking about receiving hope. People that are being nurtured can receive hope. And how we think about others, hope is deeply connected and intertwined with attitude. And so perspective, significance, here I think hope or attitude begins to shift. It begins to become heightened, or the person begins to become more aware how we're thinking about others, about situations, about the future, about current events. Hope begins to rise as a person, and a person's attitude changes as a result of hope. And so those two things are deeply connected, and it comes as a result of a nurturing relationship. So, you know, as we think and as we talk about nurturing others, leading, influencing with nurture, and what people can receive from us in a nurturing relationship, I think this is a great question. So again, once the episode's over, come back and maybe answer this question. But what can those you are mentoring expect to receive from you? I think that's a powerful question to reflect on, and to begin to jot some notes about. Again, what can those you are mentoring expect to receive from you in these relationships that you are forming as you lead? We're our prayer, our hope is that you move from simply just a relationship now to a nurturing relationship, because it's going to expand and it's going to increase your influence in a powerful way. And so this is a great opportunity to jot down a couple, two or three points of, you know, as I move from simply just relating to, as I move from relating now to nurturing, what can be the difference, and what can people expect to receive from me and from my leadership as I move from a simple just trying to relate to someone to now nurturing someone. So again, just a powerful question to think about. So we've talked about definitions of nurture. We've talked about benefits of nurturing relationships. Obviously, we want to help all of us move from where we are to becoming just a natural nurturer. So, Bruce, do you have any ideas for us? Any help that you can help just an old grumpy miser like myself? You know, how can you help me begin to nurture people in relationships?
I think you've already alluded to it, Charles, but I think cultivating a positive attitude of being other-mindedness. I think of one of the best books I've ever thought John Maxwell ever wrote. He's changed the title and expanded it over the years, but when it initially came out, it was simply called Becoming a People Person. And I remember reading that book because obviously I wasn't a very good people person. But he shares the story of this very well-known Washington, D.C. socialite who described people as being either here I am people or there you are people. And the here I am person is the one that walks in the room, sucks all the oxygen out of the room, demands all the attention, has the larger-than-life personality and knows it and is looking for everyone's eyes and attention. The there you are person is the one that walks in the room and flips it. They make the room about everybody else. They get to know them. They greet them. They compliment them. And I think that's a very powerful way to think about how you impact others. When you're in space with other people, is it about you or is it about them? And so being a there you are person, I think, is a key to being a natural nurturer. And a couple ways to do that is make sure that you commit to them. Make them your agenda. Make people and their empowerment and their growth and their value, make that your agenda. Reflect your commitment to them in both time and investment. We've championed the Leadership Railroad, and we've talked about that as a model for helping people grow as leaders. And don't forget that the tension between someone's skill development and their knowledge base, what's essential to that is that railroad tie in the middle that establishes balance between what I'm learning and what I'm doing. And letting people know that you're there to help them think and reflect, and so making them your agenda is that valuable piece, I think, of helping you become a much better nurturer. Express belief in them. Don't just commit to them, but make sure they know that you believe in them. I have an expression that I like to use. Encouragement is the vocabulary of belief. That what I think about a person, I need to verbalize that in encouragement. I need to let them know that I'm someone that sees them with a sense of vision, that maybe I'm seeing some things that they can be that they haven't seen yet. And so as a leader, when you impart that to people, you're generating vision and positivity and maybe even challenging some of their own limitations about who they are. I'm not saying don't be realistic or I'm not saying be unrealistic. What I mean is to consider who that person can be at the next level, the next two levels, and encourage them in that sense. Help them to see that their gifts bring value beyond, you know, their little world. They impact the department, they impact the ministry, they impact the mission. So express your belief in them. I think another thing to consider is make a priority of your leadership to be one of accessibility. So be accessible to those people. Make sure they know that you're just a text away, a phone call away. And can I say something about texting? Man, if you're going to commit to texting, then respond to people's texts. You don't have to give lengthy answers, you can just say, hey, thanks for contacting me. I'll get back to you when I have a little more time in my schedule to give you a better answer. But respond to them. Be accessible to them. One of the prices of leadership is accessibility. And I can tell you that as a natural introvert, that where I get energized and being in study and thinking and kind of being in my own headspace, it's important that I'm very intentional about making sure that not only can people contact me, but I'm intentional about contacting them. So be accessible to them. Help them to know that your time has the value of them, that you're available to them, not just when they need you, but they need to know that you're accessible to them beyond your schedule. You're accessible to them, your thoughts, your creativity. They know that you're there for them. Learn to give with no strings attached. I think that's a quality of leadership that says I'm not about the reciprocity here. I'm not looking to scratch someone else's back so I can get mine scratched. Being a leader is about elevating people. It's about being available to them. So what you give to them, give with no agenda. Don't give with a manipulative sense that I'm looking to what my return on investment is going to be in their life. Expect nothing in return. Just continue to cultivate a giving of spirit. Another thing is giving them opportunities. One of the struggles of leadership is delegation, because delegation requires trust. I trust this person to do the job. Well, if you're going to invest time in helping people grow in their own skill set and giftedness, then learn to delegate in tandem with that. Give people moments to be out in front in leadership. Help them to see their value to the mission or the project or whatever the department or the church or the organization is doing. Help them to see their value in it by giving them the opportunities. And don't just give them the opportunities. Give them moments out front that you've prepared them for. Help them to work through. Let them know that as that moment comes closer, that you're there to help them to prepare for it and to think through it and do their very best. And I think also as a leader, you want to remember that nurturing is about helping them get to the next level. And, you know, it's one thing to tell someone, boy, I see you becoming, going from a 2 to a 3. I can see you in your skill set being really productive once you grow to this point. You know, it's really easy to be nebulous about that, and I just purposely use some very nebulous terms to maybe bring this point home. Don't just talk about the next level for that person. Help them define it. Help them to think through what that can look like for them. Help them to be creative and envision and empower them to have some vision. And when they see you in that mind space, that's going to help them. Charles, there's something that Walt Disney is reported to have said, and I honestly don't know where I read this, but I thought it would be appropriate to share. There are three kinds of people in the world. He said they're the well poisoners. They're the people that discourage. They stomp on creativity. They tell people what they can't do. They poison the well, and that affects a person's outlook and outcomes. And then you have the lawnmowers. These are the people that have good intentions, but they're self-absorbed. They mow their own lawns religiously, on schedule. They never let their lawns get above a certain height, but they never help others. They're all about their own yard. But then there are the life enhancers. And these are the people who reach out to enrich the lives of other people. They lift them up and they inspire them. And so as a nurturer, I think you need to commit to the kind of leader you're going to be. Is it all about you? Or is it all about the people that help you lead the organization that you're called to lead? So Charles, that's a summary. That was just a few ideas about becoming a more natural nurturer. What do you see as important to becoming an overall nurturer of other people?
Well, first of all, I need some of you lawnmower people. I need you to become nurturers because I need a little help up here in Western North Carolina. I know we're getting into the fall, but next spring, you know, you got some time to get this nurturing going on. So, you know, give me a shout when you get it figured
Charles,
out.
Charles, right? I know what it takes to get to your house on that hill. And I got to tell you, anyone that would bring a zero-turn mower up that hill to your house, they love you and they're a genuine nurturer.
Hey, don't even try it and bring your four-wheel drive. That's all I can say. Well, we want to nurture other people. That is for sure. And so just a few practical ways that we can do that. This is certainly not an exhaustive list. The first thing we can do is begin to develop a nurturing environment in your home or in your place of business, at church. Imagine that, a church that is an environment for nurturing relationships. That might be an attractive place to go and worship. Whatever the case, whatever context you find yourself leading in, develop a nurturing environment there. And that will be an environment where you're making people around you feel loved. They're feeling respected. They feel secure. You know, Bruce, as I consult with churches and we talk about these nurturing environments, you know, in the church world, we often use the word assimilation. In other words, how are we helping people outside of the church connect to the life inside of the church? And so we want to help them to assimilate into the life of the church. And so we talk about environments of hospitality. In other words, how is this church, you know, how is Five Gifts Church going to welcome people and help people feel accepted, feel like they belong? How are we going to help people feel respected, feel secure? You know, what are the teams that we need? What are the systems that we need to have in place? What does that process look from? This is something I talk to a lot of pastors about from the moment people turn into and onto your church campus until they find their seat in the sanctuary. What does that upfront process, that's just the pre-service kind of welcoming, you know, what does that look like, and what kind of, how many teams, what kind of systems, what does the environment need to look like and feel like, you know, as people drive onto your campus, as they enter into the building, you know, how are you going to welcome people? How are you going to help people feel like they belong here, they're accepted here? And again, I think the same thing goes for businesses and for our homes. You know, we want these places where we're leading to be nurturing environments. We want people to feel loved, accepted, and like they belong. A second kind of practical way we can begin to nurture other people, give special encouragement. So here's an activity. Pick two or three people to encourage this month, not even this week, but this month. So that might be a way to prepare and to plan. We're coming up. October's coming on us quickly. And so in the month of October, who are two to three people that you can begin to give special encouragement to? Who are two to three people that you can begin to nurture through encouragement? Write them down and begin to, as I would encourage you, and as spiritual leaders, we would encourage you, begin to pray for them. Even before you speak to them, why don't you compile that list of two to three people, and then for the rest of this month of September, why don't you begin to pray for them? Begin to ask the Lord for wisdom in how to speak and how to encourage them. And then, why don't you take the month of October and just begin to encourage them, give special encouragement, and begin to nurture those folks. A third way to nurture others is we can rebuild bridges. Now, I know that no one listening has ever burned a bridge. I'm the only one that has done that, and so I'm speaking strictly to myself today. But so, Charles, you need to rebuild some bridges. You can approach one person, all right? Don't rebuild. You don't have to rebuild all the bridges at one time. This is bridge building is hard work. And so who's one person that you tend to be negative with? Who's one person that there's a fracture, there's a divide in the relationship? Find them, approach them. Maybe an apology from the past is necessary. And simply humbling ourselves and asking for a do-over. You know, just a simple, hey, I'm sorry, I acted in the wrong way. Will you forgive me? Will you give me an opportunity to repair the relationship that I've fractured? So, again, that's a part of nurturing. As a leader, especially, I'm just speaking from my personal experience. I'm not putting this on anyone else except just for me, learning from my mistakes. Again, I can become focused on tasks and results if I'm not careful. And so there can be relationships in my leadership that I've got to have to go back and say, look, I apologize. I didn't consider you enough. I didn't value you enough. And I apologize for that. Will you forgive me? Will you allow me to come and now repair the relationship that I'm fractured? Well, that's a hard pill to swallow. But if we're going to nurture, if we're going to lead and influence with nurture, humility becomes a part of that. And we find that in rebuilding the bridges. So I'm big on application. So here's an exercise again, little homework, little five gifts homework for you this week. How can we apply these things? Here's a simple way. List three things you can do right now to improve your influence by nurturing. We've just talked about some practical things. There may be maybe some other methods or ways by which you can improve your influence through relational nurture, through nurturing relationships, rather. So just take time. As we're ending this episode this morning, take some time and list out three things that you can do right now. What's the low-hanging fruit? What are the simple and easy, just slight adjustments that you can begin to do to improve your influence by nurturing? And then begin to take action on those things. Because listen, I'm telling you, nurturing relationships is a powerful dynamic, not just in leadership, but in life. As we honor people, as we elevate people, as we do unto others, as we would want them to relate to us as well. Pastors, leaders, business leaders, family leaders, whatever leadership role or capacity you find yourself in, nurturing relationships are a critical piece to leading well. And so our prayer for you is to lead well through nurturing relationships.
Charles, I just want to add a point to something that you said, and I thought it was very, very strong, that last point about rebuilding bridges. You know, I would also say that if you haven't had a habit of being an encourager, you may not have burned any bridges, but maybe you want to initiate a new approach with people, a more active, more engaged approach, then take a similar track. Begin to tell people and be honest about your leadership and say, you know, I haven't been very intentional about being an encourager. And so I'd like to initiate some new relating skills with you, and just tell them that you want to become more of an encourager. So begin to initiate those conversations. Let people know that you want to be there for them in those in that level of nurturing them as an influencer. Let them know that they can tell you what are some ways that that are that are more powerful, more ways that they receive encouragement better. Let them open those kinds of communication with them. So I just wanted to add that. But really, Charles, those were some great, great practical ways that we can begin to implement nurturing habits with other people, and especially those that we're called to lead. Well, we're so glad that you could join us today on the Five Gifts Podcast. We always encourage you to like, follow, subscribe. Make sure that you share our content with people that you care about. If it's meant something to you and you think it can mean something, then it's easy to attach that clip to an email or a text or share it from your iPhone. We always encourage that. You'll also find that through the week, we post all kinds of smaller shorts or reels or clips from our videos. And if you find that those are helpful, then again, like, follow, subscribe, share those if you would. You can always reach us outside of comments and messaging just through YouTube or Facebook. You can reach us on our websites. Charles has a website, or two websites, charlesrusselltraining.com and charlesrussellministries.com. Charles has great applications for helping leaders grow, both in the church world and the marketplace. And you can reach out to him for a customized plan to help you grow to the next level. You can also reach me at coachingcardia.com. That's my own personal coaching website, and I'm available to help leaders grow through a coach approach. And I look forward to hearing from you. I know Charles does as well. We look forward to seeing you next week on the Five Gifts Podcast. Until then, God bless. Have a great week. You've been listening to the Five Gifts Podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments to give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.